KUOW podcasts are made possible by listener support. Become a new or renewing member today at KUOW.org.
From 94.9 KUOW Seattle, I'm Dave Beck. Those of us who live in the Pacific Northwest talk about those places in the region that we'd always like to get to. But we often shy away from going there because of crowds. Seattle travel writer Cray Bauer says the fall is the perfect time to go to some of these iconic destinations. The tourists are gone. It's our time as residents. He recommends a visit to Mount St. Helens.
And for me, growing up, you know, far from volcanoes and the Finger Lakes of upstate New York, I mean, a volcano is one of these examples. Imagine a mountain having the top, you know, 1,300 feet of peak blown off during an eruption. I mean, you can't imagine that it actually happens, especially, again, among the Finger Lakes, Berkshires, Adirondacks, but the old mountains. But it was just fascinating to me, this idea that a mountain could blow up. I mean, as a kid, as a boy, what's better than something blowing up?
Well, and you get that sense of that destruction just when you drive up to the various visitor centers at St. Helens.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even all these years, you know, 30 years on almost, I first witnessed St. Helens. I came upon it. I was censusing for spotted owls with the Department of Natural Resources in 1990, and I was on a spur road, and all of a sudden there it was. And it was just, it was breathing, as I know many people have described volcanoes, when you can see the, I believe, CO2 escaping. You know, it just looks like this mountain is breathing. I mean, just brooding, you know, in this dormant stage, or is it? And then looking at the deep crater, you know, all the earth science I'd loathed with Sister Janice when I was at McQuaid Jesuit in high school came, you know, flowing back, you know, like lava into my head. And I started hearing things like magma chamber and these things from this nun. I suddenly got geology right there. I mean, I had a professor, and he was just nuts about rocks. All he ever wanted to talk about was geology, more obsessive than anyone else I knew. And his excitement at the fact that Mount St. Helens for us in Olympia was a couple hours away. I have a volcanologist friend, a submarine volcanologist, dear friend of mine at Wisconsin. And he can't help but visit Mount St. Helens whenever he's on the West Coast, because he's just so excited about having an eruption within his lifetime, within the continental United States. I mean, it's crazy. It seems more exotic. It seems like it should be in Hawaii or Iceland or in ancient Italy. But yet here it is near Centralia.
Yeah. And that was the thing for me. It was 24 years after the eruption, and I watched it on TV, lived here, and, you know, experienced it. But to see those trees on the side of the hill just blown over, to see the destruction it wrought, as you say, that side of the mountain just blown out, that's a very different thing to really experience it in real time.
And then, of course, the rejuvenation. I think of the Yellowstone fire, and people were shocked at how quickly the earth and nature starts to rejuvenate. And what I love about Mount St. Helens, with the alders and the lupin were the first to come back, you know, these gorgeous spiky peas that broke through the ash, and on the pumice plain, one of 27 species of plants who took root fairly recently after the destruction, which is, you know, quite a number. And 11 animals were censused within the first year of inhabiting areas around here, voles and such, you know, burrowing in and figuring out where to find the seeds and things.
Cray Bauer says the Mount St. Helens Visitor Center presents a film about the 1980 eruption. At the end of that movie, curtains open on windows in the visitor center, exposing visitors to a dramatic view of the blown-up mountain.
And that's mind-blowing. You can't, again, replicate that. You can look on a huge screen, which is an amazing experience. Even in your basement and your surround sound and booms and everything else, you can get a sense of this or that natural destruction. But to look and say, oh, that's actually it. That's where the top blew off. And we're this close. Yeah, it can't be equaled.
Fire! Fire on the mountain! Fire! Fire on the mountain! Fire! Fire on the mountain!
years ago, my familiarity with Mount St. Helens mostly had to do with knowing that the Grateful Dead broke into Fire on the Mountain immediately when they heard the volcano had erupted. And so that was sort of my Mount St. Helens thing. Now, when I descend into Seattle on one of those gorgeous days coming from the east, and descend not on my own wings, but flying in from the east, and everyone's craning to see Rainier, which is always beautiful, and see down to Adams and up to Baker, I look for Mount St. Helens. It's like a Northwest secret again. You know, where's the scab? Where's that mountain that no longer is, that's just beyond Mount Rainier? That's my welcome home when I see this mountain that feels so much like we possess it here in the Northwest. It's a great way to play hooky, too. More correct, I guess, is to take one of your personal days. Why not pack a picnic lunch and take off for the day and go down somewhere to Mount St. Helens? No less an institution than the Smithsonian calls Mount St. Helens one of the world's 10 most spectacular geologic sites. If someone is faced with having to depart the Northwest, this is probably one of those sites that we've always thought about visiting, but haven't visited. What a great time of year to just hop in your car down to Mount St. Helens for the day.
Krebauer recommends traveling to Mount St. Helens this fall. You can find out more at our website, kuow.org. Search for volcano. I'm Dave Beck, KUOW 94.9.
Thanks for listening. The program you just heard was made possible by the financial support of our listeners. Support this program and others like it by making a pledge today at kuow.org.